You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Mitch Light from The Athletic, part of our Game SEC media coverage, brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Mercedes-Benz of Music City. Mitchell, welcome back to SEC Media Days. It's been a minute for you.
It has, and good to be here, guys. My second time this week came Tuesday. Basically, when Willie Donick's here, I'm here. If he's not here, I've got no reason, but as I was
You're
telling,
not the first person to say that.
Yes. I don't know how many years it's been, but it's over two decades, my last appearance at SEC Media Days. And when I was there, I asked Steve Spurrier a question, probably the only question I ever asked at an SEC Media Days, about certain defensive back in the SEC at that point, Corey Chavis, who Willie remembers well.
Yes.
Played in the NFL for about 10 years. Do you remember going, Derek Mason, do you remember going up against Chavis? He played mostly Arizona.
Uh huh.
And maybe he was all pro 1 year, I think, or made the Pro Bowl. Had a couple good years there. But
yeah.
Did you ever come across him? Do you know him?
Yeah,
at all?
I did. Corey, I think he ended up playing safety, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He ended up playing safety. So I didn't get an opportunity to sort of go up against him, but he played against some of the defenses that we had to play against. He was a good player. He was a knowledgeable player. So much so, I think he started doing some stuff.
Yeah, it's just NFL draft stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, he
knew the game.
He had eight interceptions 1 year for Minnesota, 2003. He played 11 years
in
the NFL. Mm-hmm. Not bad at all.
Yeah, he was doing CBS up until last year. He was doing color commentary for CBS Sports, not main CBS, the games on the Mountain West games. I think he did the He might have done the Vanderbilt Colorado State game a couple years ago. So.
Yeah.
That is a soundbite that I miss.
Yes.
Steve Spurrier.
Well, I was young. I was a young. I was like 23 years old, and it was a scrum afterwards, and I was all nervous talking to Steve Spurrier, and I thought I was going to screw up the question and ask him about Corey Chavis, and I was doing a story like on Corey Chavis, who was an all SEC cornerback at Vanderbilt, and I was like, thought he was going to say, who's Corey Chavis? Never heard of him. But he answered it. He was good. It was good.
All right. He probably wasn't expecting that among the questions he was going to get. But those were excellent Vanderbilt defenses.
Yes.
These were the best. I mean, Steve Spurrier, of course, that was his heyday, national championship. Vanderbilt defended them probably as well as 90% of the teams that they faced. The problem is they had zero offense at all. But remember, there was one game.
1996.
Defense wins championships, Willie.
Yes. 1996.
Not that year. when 0-8 in the SEC finished first in the SEC in total defense, last in total offense, the game Willie's referring to, not to hijack the conversation here, number one, Florida comes in with Danny Werfel at quarterback.
Heisman Trophy.
43-point favorites at Vanderbilt. It was 28-21 final. And I think Vanderbilt had a blocked punt for touchdown called back because someone was offsides there. But I always said, Danny, people ask me who's the best quarterback you've ever seen in person at college level. I always say Danny Werfel.
Mm.
Who's the best you saw?
Oh, man. In person? Oh, goodness gracious.
Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Yeah. You know what? When I was playing, I didn't pay attention to the quarterbacks because I'm thinking deep from a defensive standpoint.
Didn't you guys play the Nebraska team that just
their team. Just watching. Now, if you're asking me the team.
Now, that was a team that beat Steve Spurrier's team in the national championship game.
That was the best
Tommy Frazier
team that I had ever seen.
Well, some people say that's the best college team ever.
I'm saying across offense, defense, second string, third string. When they walked out of the locker room, no lie, when they walked out of the locker room, you thought that was an NFL team. Seriously. All these guys, big, huge, fast. And then once you get on the field with them, especially the first year we played at State, man, it was like a track meet. And we wasn't a part of the track meet. I mean, Lawrence Phillips.
Someone's got PTSD.
Right.
A bunch of other guys.
And Lawrence Phillips, a whole bunch of memories.
He was a freshman that year. And I remember he took a pitch. I think it was Tommy Frazier at the time. He took a pitch. It ran like 70 yards as a freshman, first carry in the game as a freshman, down the line 70 yards. I said, man, I don't know who's going to beat this team. This team, that's the best team I've ever seen, played against, ever seen.
Ever seen,
period. Like, yeah. Even in a pro level, Baltimore was good because their defense. But I'm talking about defense and offense. That's the best team football team I've ever played against.
That is always a great debate. Is the greatest teams of the last, I don't know, 30, 40 years. It's hard to go back earlier, you know, when the game was so different, right, in the 70s. But that's
And it's crazy how many of them are in the past, like, 5 to 10 years.
Well, I was going to say Joe Burrow, that 2019 LSU team, some people say. But Joe Burrow is one of the best college quarterbacks I've seen.
But that was just from an offensive standpoint.
Right, they gave up a lot of points.
Right. Yeah. It was just crazy because that was LSU's bread and butter for the longest time, was their defense. But we've been talking about Tennessee. And I got a bone to pick with your colleague over at The Athletic, Joe Rexroad.
Oh, go pick away.
He said yesterday, we were discussing Tennessee. He said yesterday that Tennessee will make minimum 4 college football playoffs over the next 10 years.
Mm. Ooh, that's setting the bar pretty high, isn't it?
Isn't it? And it's a 12-team playoff, so it's a different dynamic.
But it doesn't start.
Minimum 40% of the next college football playoffs will involve Tennessee.
That's bold. It's not. If you put the over under at 4.5, I would say under. If you put it under at 4, you know, we'll see how the dynamics of the playoff works out in how many SEC teams. Because in theory, you know, are there how many of the top 12 teams in the country will be SEC teams? It might be 5 or 6, but or 7 even. But the math doesn't work out the way the automatic bids will go out. So, you know, we'll get a feel after the first 2 or 3 playoffs, like how many teams from each league. There's just so much competition. Something I know we might get into in a minute, how so many teams have upward momentum, positive momentum. Tennessee's not the only program with positive momentum. I always joke, you know, the SEC, that every fan base, maybe with the exception of Vanderbilt, and you used to say Kentucky and Missouri, the fan base expects a national championship every year. These coaches are paid to win national championships. Mm-hmm. So while it's easy to say Tennessee has a ton of momentum now, we could be here next year, 2 years, and there could be a different program that has all the momentum, and maybe Tennessee has a bunch of injuries and they go 8-7-5 this year. I'm not saying that will happen, but it's a bold statement, but I don't think it's crazy.
Is Joe counting this year before the playoff goes to 12
teams? I
don't
think he can be.
You're looking a couple years into the crystal ball.
I think
ball.
It's more of a program statement in a 12-team playoff.
Right. See, that to me is assuming that they're going to stay on this upward, which is not a given.
Which is a massive assumption.
League.
Right.
Yeah. Go a little further with what you said, Mitch. There's usually 2, 3, 4 coaches where when they come to this, they kind of know it's on the line. They're on the hot seat, right? We don't know. But it does seem like right now this has been a fairly quiet week. There's not a lot of hot-button topics. There's not a lot of coaches that go up to the podium without really feeling good about where they are right now, which is really unusual.
Yeah, and it just speaks to the momentum. It also speaks to a lot of turnover when you've got coaches in their first, second, third year. You're rarely on the hot seat. You know, you got hired because the previous guy got fired and you're building.
Or you have an $85 million buyout.
Exactly. my point was, you know, it's just the majority of fan bases. I was thinking about when Shane Beamer was up there. You know, South Carolina fans are fired up that Shane Beamer's their head coach. Tennessee fans are fired up that Josh Heupel is their head coach. You know, Lane Kiffin has had some ups and downs. I'd say mostly ups, but I'm not going to speak for all Ole Miss fans, but wouldn't you guys agree that, you know, despite the flirtation with, they're probably a little upset he flirted with Auburn last year, but they're glad he's their coach. So I just think I'm not saying the league's never been in a better spot. I just think there's so many programs that have a lot going for it. You can even over say Vanderbilt, Clark Lee, you know, winning those 2 SEC games and the off the field stuff going on. You know, I don't know if there's any Vanderbilt fans that are sitting here saying, oh, Clark Lee, I don't know if he's the guy for the job. So I just think it's a unique spot. You'd have to go back and look and take snapshots every 3 or 4 years and see. But yeah, I agree to your point. There's not really here. Will every coach who's here this year be at SEC Media Day next year? No, it rarely works that way, but you can't sit here and say, like, is Billy Napier going to get fired? No, he's not going to get fired, but, you know, he might be the guy in the hot seat next year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, how should Vandy be judged this year? Because obviously we see what Clark Lee is doing here. in Nashville with that program, and we know it's going to take a lot. It's just baby steps with them. They won two games last year in the SEC. Do they have to win four games this year? How should we judge this team this upcoming year?
Well, the luxury that he has, and I think from most of the fan base, is that, you know, he got his contract extension. Yes. They know it's a process. And I always say, especially in college football, like, not every – if we're just talking SEC record, but not every – let's go regular record. Not every 8-4 is created equally. You know, you can go 8-4 and have a bunch of 1-2-3-point wins, or you can go 8-4 and a bunch of blowouts. You got to look at who you played and how you played against them. So my point being that Vanderbilt could have the very same record this year. They could go 5-7 and 2-6. And you can say, yeah, they made some progress. Like, if you really want to poke a hole in last year's, they got blown out by the good teams. They played, other than Kentucky, who wasn't ranked after they lost to Vanderbilt, all the ranked teams they gave up, look, it's like 55 points, 52 points, like, did not belong on the field. So you'd like, Derek, I guess to specifically answer your question, that's where you'd like to see some progress, maybe even more so than the overall record, is can you play better against the really good teams on your schedule. Not necessarily beat. No one's expecting them to beat Georgia, but can you not be down 28-0 at the end of the first quarter?
Right, where it's running the scrimmage. You know, exactly. Just keep the clock running.
Throw the third screen.
That's what it was.
But there's also the theory that
historically, Vanderbilt, you can see some teams like that ended up maybe not with the greatest record. Like, I think of Jerry DiNardo's teams. He had a couple teams that were right in every game, but they still ended up 5-6.
Right, so that's how that staff will look at progress. It's like you look at the whole season, and they know the games they were in, the games they weren't. Like, they always pointed to the South Carolina game last year. I forgot what the final score. It might have been like 38-24. And I watched it, and, you know, I got the, hey, you know, it played okay, but still got blown out at the end. Like, they pointed back to that game. You know, we knew after that game, maybe it's coach speak, because then they went on to win the next two SEC games. Mm-hmm. We knew that was kind of a turning point in our locker room. So coaching staffs know when they're making progress and when they're not making progress. So I just think it's sort of like just a holistic approach. Are they getting better?
I also want to go back to one thing that you said, that the league has never been in a better place. And I think that's you can make a very fair argument for that. I think there's also a lot of SEC fans that would say the league's never been in a worse place with it, where it is with NIL, with conference realignment. But it does feel like all of the off-season talking points, conference realignment, whatever it might be, the business side of the league, the on-the-field product, at least to me, has never felt like it's been compromised.
Yeah, that's kind of been my – it's funny you phrase it a good way, Caroline, because that's kind of my approach in college sports. And I don't love all the stuff going on as a college fan, and I don't love the free agency. You guys might have been on the air. Lane Kiffin's brutally honest up there. He's like, I take advantage of it because we're allowed to, but the transfers, it's bad. Like, all this stuff's bad for college sports, for college sports fans. We all acknowledge it's good the guys are getting paid and all that. But I have always been able to – once Saturday comes or once Thursday night comes, turn on the TV, sit on the couch all day, and eat it up and love it. And to your right, like the atmospheres, the product, the presentations on TV and everything about it, college football has never been better on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Monday through Friday in the off season, the sport has a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and the stresses of coaches, the number of layers. Mike Vrabel on his Bussin' with the Boys, which is a very long interview, they asked him about that Ohio State. Remember Joe Rex Rhodes was like, he could go to Ohio State. He was like, I was never going to touch Ohio State. And he listed all those things that coaches have to do at the college level that you don't have to worry about in the pros. There's pluses and minuses. But, Mitch, too, your colleague David Ubbin did a fan poll. I think that was reflected in that, right? Despite all these issues, and I'm one of those, it's like, come on, why are we doing this? And this is what's best for the kids, all these things. It's the same thing. People love the product when they turn on the TV.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
Ratings are great, and you know, everything about it is great. And we are as sports fans, we're able to just kind of turn our attention to one day. And I think the Athletic, our new podcast that we're rebranding and have a newsletter, it's just came out yesterday that it's called Until Saturday. That's the name of it. So that's the way we're going to live. We might complain about things on Monday, but then Saturday comes along and. You know, are you ever, you know, you could be so disgruntled about everything, but on Saturday you're going to watch LSU football, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what we're getting to the point in the off season where we just need football. Like, when we're breaking down the nuances
it's
of
the
Congress
shortest season.
And NIL,
college football is the shortest
we
season.
We need football.
Yeah. It's basically 3 months. You know, it goes into the bowl season, but the regular season is 3 months. And really, it's for 80% of the teams or even less, it's 2 months because – you build yourself up in the offseason. You get so psyched about your team, and then it's late October, and they're 2-6, and you're like, this sucks. I'm not watching the rest. That's why you turn a game when it's cold in, you know, a stadium that might have 85,000 people on, you know, in mid-September, early November, there's 41,000, and, you know, they're not into it. It's just it's easy to fall out of favor with your team as well.
It's a fickle little fan base, college football.
Imagine that.
Rich Light, appreciate you for joining us. Your son at Wake Forest, if he would like a Tommy Tank signed jersey, I would be happy to oblige.
He does not acknowledge his existence. I've never, you know, you as Willie knows, and I know we got to go, you feel pain for your kids. You just want them to
of
be
course.
Happy. I'm sitting here on the couch rooting for Wake Forest, and he's over there sort of where Willie is and just watching.
Yeah.
And the ball's hit, and you know it's gone.
It's just the
I've been upset when my teams lose. I wanted to cry for my son.
Well, send him my best.
But that's
genuinely
what being a sports fan is all about. Yes. Pain. Yeah. He's a freshman in college. He didn't deserve that. You gotta suffer with your team. Like
yeah.
Wake almost beat Clemson in week 3 this year.
Right.
They were ready to storm the field. I was watching with some friends. I jokingly said, he doesn't deserve this. He isn't gonna storm the field in his third game on campus. Like, Willie and I had to wait until
suffer.
My senior year at Vanderbilt.
Pain.
Yeah, my senior year at Vanderbilt beat number one Kentucky in hoops. Like, I worked for 4 years for that.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of being a sports fan is it's pain.
Right.
But it's collective pain.
Yeah.
We all hurt together
exactly.
at some point or another.
Exactly.
Rich Light, appreciate you for stopping by. We'll chat with you soon.
Yep. Talk awesome. To you guys later.
We'll react to what Mitch had to say coming up next. Plus, I have to get into it. I want to get Willie and D-Mace's thoughts on what Joe Rexroad had to say about the Tennessee Volunteers over the next 10 years, and we will get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.